We have a return guest on the program today. He is Dr. Josh Schwarzbaum, emergency room physician in the Bronx. And I'm going to turn over the mic to him now. And for those who have never heard an episode with you, who you are, what you do.
Thanks. Thanks for having me again. Nice to be here. I'm Josh Schwarzbaum. I work, like you said, in the emergency room in the Bronx. I work in Lakewood, New Jersey, in a health in a federally qualified health center. And then I also work in addiction medicine. In addition to that, I do some coaching, helping physicians and other professionals or people or companies finding their peace of mind, finding their well-being. It's something that I've kind of honed in on over the course of my career working in the emergency room through various different experiences that I've had. And I think it's something that is available to all of us and something that is something that's very needed nowadays, especially in the fast-paced world that we live in. And yeah, that's a little bit about what I do.
And we're going to talk about a skill set today that everybody, no matter what your profession is or whatever your, you know, goals are in life, with family, with friends, whomever, all relationships are based on, I think, being a good listener. And that's the gist of what we want to talk about today. I'm going to call this episode How to Listen Better to Find the Feeling Behind the Words. And the reason I'm calling it that is because Dr. Josh here is a recent author of a children's book I'm holding in my hand right now, which we're going to talk all about today and kind of get behind why you wrote it and what some of the important takeaways are from this book. While it's written for a child, it is actually something that everybody, and I've read it several times, can benefit from the takeaways on. And so first and foremost, just what inspired you to write this book?
Yeah, I was working at this health center in Lakewood called Chemed, and as part, they were doing like a fair kind of to teach people new skills. And I don't know, it came to me, I'm like, all right, what could I do? You know, it was more for like the medical assistants to teach them how to do, you know, EKGs or phlebotomy or how to enter orders in the computer or whatever. And it just came to me that I could write a book about listening. So it took me a while. That was the original spark from the idea. But then, you know, it's something that we do all the time in our lives and in medicine. And I mean, really, like literally every day we're listening to people. And it's something that's really beneficial. Obviously, the more we're able to do it and the more we're able to get into it, it's not only beneficial for us, it's beneficial for the people we're talking to. So that's kind of where the idea sparked from. And then, you know, I made it into an illustrated book as well, you know, for adults and for children, really. Like you said, I mean, you can look at it and you look at it, you know, you can look at it quickly, you look at the cover and you think of right away, this is a children's book, but there's a deep message in there. And, you know, the message isn't, it may even be over the top for some kids to read this book, you know, for young kids, they may not understand it fully or be able to grasp the essence behind it, but for adults as well. And I did it as an illustrated book because I think that, you know, like I spoke about in the book also, words can only convey what words are conveying. It's they're containers for what we're trying to say or what we're trying to communicate. But language and the way in which I speak, the way in which you hear or understand, it could mean two different things. And well, the words that we use are often, they're limiting. It doesn't allow us to say everything we want to say necessarily, even we can try, but it has to be perceived by the other person. So I did it in this illustrated fashion as well to kind of not say so much, because there's not a huge amount of text in the book. So that people can look for what I was trying to explain in the book, basically, which is that there's a deeper listening that we're able to do. And it doesn't come just by listening to words. It comes by allowing ourselves to settle into a place, to clear our minds, to connect to the person that's in front of us, regardless of what they're saying. Because underneath what they're saying, there's a deeper place. There's the essence that we all share. And I alluded to that in the book as well. And if we're able to do that, and I found that as I've been able to do that in medicine and been able to connect to people in that regard, the things that used to bother me about going to the emergency room or working with people or staff or whatever, they went away because I was able to find something deeper, find a greater connection that's there. It's always there, regardless of what the presenting signs or the presenting symptoms are, or the way in which someone's behaving.
So I want to talk about when we're caught up thinking about what the other person is saying and we're analyzing it in our head, we're not truly listening. I know that's something that we all have to come to grips with, because, you know, when you're in a conversation, even right now as a podcast host, I guess I just kind of have to silence it and listen no matter what. Because at the end of the day, as your book illustrates, a clear and quiet mind is what we need to be good listeners, good communicators. So, you know, any tips on how we can achieve that clear mind?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's recognizing it, first of all, it's wanting to try to get there. And then we're always going to have different thoughts that come in, and people, and if we're speaking to somebody or someone's speaking to us, these thoughts and ideas come into our head, and we're just trying to compare ourselves or compare stories or compare, you know, and just see where things fit in. But the more we're able to recognize that that's what's happening, and then if something happens, we just don't pay attention to it. We refocus ourselves back on what the person is saying, or just on listening, and try not to get caught up in our thoughts. It takes practice like anything else, you know, and it's also a commitment that we make to doing it, that I'm not going to let my thoughts take me for a ride. I'm here to listen to you right now. And whatever comes up in my head, I'm not going to necessarily pay attention to that right now. I can pay attention to it, but I don't have to. And if I don't pay attention to it, then I may, by allowing that person to speak more and more, things are going to unfold. And then I may find that deeper connection as well from there, as opposed to just the first thought that pops into my head. Now, if I just go on that thought, the whole conversation may shift to a completely different place. I'm changing the direction of that. And I may need to change the direction. Sometimes we need to do that, but sometimes we don't. So it depends on what we're trying to do. And especially this is true, you know, in relationships also. If you're dealing with your husband, your wife, your kids, people just want to be listened to. People want to be heard. People want to be felt. People want to feel like they're heard. And how do we do that? By not interrupting them, by letting them speak, by turning off ourselves and just letting them say whatever they want to say without judgment, without reaction to it. Now, they may say something that could maybe be offensive or may hurt me or theoretically or whatever, but if I say to myself, I'm here listening to this person, and I'm not the important part in this conversation, they're the important part, you're the important part in this, I'm here to listen to you, say whatever you want. It doesn't have an effect on me in terms of who I am, my being, necessarily. It can if I allow it to, but if I just let what you say pass through me, I can then see you for you and hear you for you.
A quote from your book I want to mention is, "We feel more than we can say." Some people have a gift to be able to articulate their feelings, you know, pretty accurately, while others might not be so good at it. So any other tips for listeners on how they can, you know, best find what the feeling is behind what someone is saying?
I think, you know, the more we speak to people, the more, you know, the more to speak to people, the more you can kind of do this as well. And the more we actually listen, the more it intuitively comes out. Because deep inside of us is a place of universal connection through all of us. It's, you know, you walk into a room, you can sense the presence of a room. You meet somebody for the first time, you get a feel of them. It doesn't need to come through words or anything. It's just there's something going on underneath. And if we're able to be in tune to that, then that we have a wisdom. You have a wisdom. I have a wisdom. We all have this wisdom that creates a connection between us. So if I'm able to tap into that within myself and allow myself to look for that within you, I'm automatically going to start to pick up on those feelings, because the words that people are saying are just the words again. Like we spoke about in the beginning, they're just containers for something that we're trying to say. Some people are better at articulating it and other people aren't as good at it. And even the people that are good at articulating it, sometimes they're not even, what they're saying isn't actually even what they're feeling or what they mean. They just think that that's what's going on. And then you hear, so you could start a conversation in one place and then you let somebody talk and talk and talk and it ends up somewhere completely different. And oftentimes, I mean, at least I found myself, if I'm just talking to somebody and they're actually listening in this way, I just start talking, talking, talking. And then all of a sudden I hear myself speaking and I hear what I'm saying. And I'm like, is that even really what I'm trying to say? Does that even make sense? And I think this is something that I've spoken to about too, and that other people have shared this experience as well, that, you know, when we just speak, we don't even realize necessarily what we're saying. We may be reacting to something, but if we're able to just let it unfold and let the conversation happen, then all of a sudden we start to hear ourselves, or the person who's speaking to us starts to hear themselves, and then they start to realize, oh, is this actually what I mean? Is this actually what I'm trying to say? And it's not something that they're even necessarily conscious of, but then all of a sudden the conversation evolves. And then as we're listening, we're able to pick up on what's going on underneath. We could see their facial expressions, their body habits. And then this stuff, it just starts to unfold. And the more we're able to quiet down, the more we're able to get in tune with this, because we're not paying attention to just the words. We're not paying attention to just those containers.
Absolutely. And your book teaches us to look for the feeling behind the words. And, you know, that can be, you know, achieved by staying present, keeping our mind kind of locked in on the speaker's every word. Do you find that to be true from your experience treating patients? Especially I want to ask about in the emergency room. Talk to me about your experience and how it translated to helping you write this book.
Yeah, I think even more than being locked in on every word, it's more being locked into them necessarily. The words, I think, are, you know, if we get too locked into the words, then we start analyzing the words. But if we get locked into them and who they are and what's bringing them in, and that, I think, is where the transformation could take place as well. And how did this happen with me? I mean, I guess over the course of my life, I started working in EMS a long, long time ago, working on ambulances when I was 16, 17 years old, so many, many years, and then working in emergency rooms. And you meet people from all over across the world. All different backgrounds, all different socioeconomic statuses. But they're all coming for a common thing, to get healed, to get help, because they have some sort of a problem. And I realized that people respond to situations very differently. People may be in the same exact situation, have two very different responses. People may be in very different situations and have a similar response. And there's no rhyme or reason necessarily why two people who are in the same situation are going to respond very differently, at least externally. But when we start to see it internally, there's each person is thinking however they're thinking, and it's their thinking that's determining how they're going to respond. So what I realize is that when we're able to quiet ourselves down and let people just be, let people be who they are, let them unfold, it's a place of natural healing that already exists within them. And if I am able to bring that out or help bring that out in them, or allow them to bring it out, then they're going to feel better regardless of what's going on, because they're going to calm down. But for them to be calm, I have to be calm. If you're talking to me and I'm all agitated and worried and fidgety, you're not going to feel calm and at peace. You're going to probably start to feel agitated and fidgety because you're going to be looking at me. I'm going to be doing that. So the more I'm able to be present, the more I'm able to be calm in that regard, the more that other people are going to be able to feel that too. And they're going to feel comfortable saying what they need to say or doing what they need to do or expressing themselves however they are. And then I do need to listen to people's words, obviously, because I got to figure out what's going on with them. But underneath that, sometimes people aren't saying exactly what's going on. They'll come in and say, tell you, I'm having chest pain or something, but they maybe just really need a bed to sleep in overnight because, unfortunately, they don't have a home. And or they don't have food, so they need a bed or they need a sandwich or whatever it may be. But there's an embarrassment that people have and they don't want to say that. So they don't come in saying that. They say, I have chest pain or I have belly pain or I have this. But how are you able to tell? You talk to them, I got to take a history, I do a physical exam. And, you know, if I'm not in a place of judgment, then I'm more attuned to the other stuff that's potentially going on. And then I can ask them that, okay, you're telling me you're having chest pain. You really just need a place to sleep tonight? And some people say, yes, that's all I need. So you're having chest pain? No. Well, okay. Well, I just needed to say that to get in the door. So I need a place to sleep. So you say, okay, that's it. And then, you know, now you've averted a whole workup that doesn't need to get done. All this testing and stuff. Because a person needs a place to sleep. So you say, all right, you could sleep. Sleep here till the morning. And that's it. But it comes by, you know, by getting rid of, you know, not just listening to exactly what they're saying, because if I hone in on I have chest pain, that all of a sudden as a doctor is going to start setting off all these bells and alarms and whistles as to, okay, I need to do X, Y, Z, a chest pain workup or whatever. But is that really what's going on? Now it may be, but if it's not necessarily what's going on, that's where it comes by quieting down, looking around, listening and seeing what the patient's saying, looking at them, how they're responding, how they're reacting, all that sort of stuff.
Finding the humanity is kind of, I think, what you're getting at here. I want to leave the opportunity for you to give us some final thoughts. We're talking about how to listen better, trying to find that feeling behind the words, and you know, find our humanity when dealing with patients, essentially. And you know, I want to also once again, you know, let people know that we're talking about a lot of Dr. Josh's book here, Listening for a Feeling, Finding True Healing, A Guide to Healing from the Inside Out. And of course, I will link to that book's Amazon page in the description. And also, again, Dr. Josh, final thoughts, and give us just your final words here on anything else that might be of value to mention.
Yeah, I think that in medicine and in life over the course of my career, we've learned a lot about like active listening, where we're supposed to take an active part in listening. And this is kind of not exactly active listening. It's listening. It's a deeper listening. It's not just responding and reiterating to what they're saying. It's actually being there. It's being present. And our presence in and of itself has the ability to heal. And if you think about a time where maybe somewhere you really felt listened to, the person may not have said one word. They may have just sat there. And they could have just been a reflective mirror, essentially, allowing you to be. And the best way for us to allow someone else to be is for us to just be and not necessarily respond to what they're saying. And what I've learned through working in the emergency room and addiction centers is that people have all sorts of stories. You never know what's going to come up. And things will surprise me. Things still do surprise me. And just when you think you've heard it all, you hear something else. But then you realize, or at least I've realized, that I was born into this. Someone is born into something else. We each have our own challenges. We each have our own opportunities. I'm not necessarily much different than the patient sitting in front of me. They're not necessarily much different than me. Now, sure, maybe our lives have taken us on a different path. But if I was given your circumstances, maybe I would have been sitting where you are right now. If you were given my circumstances, maybe you would have been sitting where I am right now. So what's the common theme behind all of us? Well, we were all created. We were all created by God, by this power that powers everything going on. So the more I'm able to see that, the more I'm able to quiet down and not necessarily judge the people that are in front of me. It doesn't make what they're doing right or, you know, or doesn't condone their behavior, but at least it gives me an understanding of what is going on, how we all have this ability to be in peace, to have calm, to have good feelings. It's just sometimes we get it in our own way. So if I'm able to clear me out of my way, essentially, if I'm able to clear my thinking out of my way and just settle into a place of non-judgment, a place of curiosity, a place of compassion, I'm able to truly transform not only my patient interactions, but also with my wife, with my kids, in business relationships, all over the place. Because ultimately, at the end of the day, people want to feel loved. People want to feel understood. People want to feel heard. So the more I'm able to do that, the more people feel good around me. And it doesn't take so much to do. It just takes a little bit of saying, I'm not going to respond. I'm not going to react. I'm just going to let it be what it's going to be. And at the end of the day, I don't necessarily have to agree with everything that anyone's saying. It's not saying that. It's not saying agree or go along or whatever. It's just saying, let a person be. Let them say what they have to say without judgment, without me getting in the way. And sometimes I'll be surprised because it may think that the conversation's heading in one direction and, you know, I start getting all these ideas that this person is this or this person's that or whatever. Then all of a sudden it takes a shift and then you hear, you find the humanity within them. You hear where they're coming from. You hear and you see, oh, this makes sense why they're doing what they're doing. But it comes with, like we said before, with quieting down, with getting out of our own way, with letting people just be who they are. And like I said, the more we're able to do that, the more I've been able to do that, the better I feel across the board. And the better I feel in my patient interactions at work and really dealing with any interpersonal relations. And listening is just something that's so critical. It's so key. It's just like something that we take for granted because we're doing it all the time. But it's something that we need. We need in our lives. We all need in our lives. We have to listen. There's no other choice. We're always talking. We're always communicating. And, you know, we could be listening even without talking. We could be, you know, communicating without talking too. So this is something that it's readily accessible to all of us. And that's the other, I think, another important point. That is something that we can all do. It's not for a select few. This is something that's available to all of us. It really is. And you don't need to have any major education to do it. You just have to, you just be a person. You tap into that essence that you have. And then you see it comes out in other people. And the world just changes. The world changes in front of you. And it's amazing. It's remarkable to see. And you see that people come in all stressed and, anxious and their faces all tense. And all of a sudden you let them speak for 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes and everything just calms down. It calms down. And in medicine, it's really key because, we're taught to ask open-ended questions, and open-ended questions is allowing people to speak, essentially. If you ask someone a yes or no question, then the answer is yes or no, and then there's not time for them to speak. But if you ask an open-ended question, that's a question that allows them to speak. But then we need to give them the time to speak. We can't just ask an open-ended question then jump in. Otherwise, we're defeating our, defeating the purpose. And that's where the key to diagnosis is really. It's in allowing people to speak, hearing what they say. They have the answer. I don't have the answer for them. When they come in and see me, I got to ask them questions or allow them to say what they have to say for me to figure out what's going on. And the more they're able to talk, then the more I'm able to get a good sense of what the presenting issue is.
Our guest today has been Dr. Joshua Schwarzbaum. He is the author of Listening for a Feeling Finds True Healing, A Guide to Healing from the Inside Out. And of course, his website is healthyinside.net. And I will also leave a link to his email in the description of today's episode in case you want to reach out to him directly with some feedback for him. Dr. Joshua Schwarzbaum, thank you again for your time today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of Healthcare Experience Matters. Healthcare Experience Matters is brought to you by the Healthcare Experience Foundation. To learn more, please visit healthcareexperience.org. That's healthcareexperience.org.